Esther to come and speak the word that the Lord has prepared for each one of us. Hallelujah. How many have their Bible? How many brought their Bible and notebook? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hey, do you have people in the house? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you had breakfast this morning? I believe we can do better than that. Because when we shout hallelujah, we begin to do some practice of what we shall do some place in heaven. Amen. And it's a wonderful opportunity that the Lord has afforded us to even shout hallelujah. Amen. So I would like this side to, I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, and we're going to shout a big praise the Lord. Are you ready, guys? You know, you're the guys on my side, so you're not going to let me down. And you guys are going to respond with a big amen. Are you ready to do that? 1, 2, 3. Okay, I only had Julius. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Praise the Lord anyhow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so excited to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's been a long, long 2 weeks. I've really desired to be here, but things happened last week and I could not be here. But thank God that God granted us favor. We thank you so much for your prayers. We thank you so much for your care and love and messages that you sent us. And we're glad to be in the house of God this morning. It is, you don't know what you miss when you're so used to come to the house of God and being joined with brothers and sisters in the glorification of our Lord. You don't know what you miss when you're out there. You don't know until you're out there and until you've missed to come to the house of the Lord and experience the corporate worship. Amen. I just want to thank God for the able ministers that the Lord has granted in this home. I know that we are all ministers, but I thank God that, you know, this work does not belong to me. This work belongs to Jehovah God. Amen. And whether I'm not there, whether I'm there, the Lord is still going to provide for himself because he wants to feed us, because we are his children, and he has engraved us on the palms of his hand. Amen. So thank you so much, the leaders, the board of this church, for standing in the gap and glorifying the name of the Lord, even when Pastor was away. Praise be to God. I also thank you so much for your generosity that you showed towards one of our own, because when one of us is down, we are able to come together. I was so overwhelmed whenever I was and when I heard about the report of how generously you gave to one of our own, our brother Rod and sister Junie, when they were down and we came to their help. We were able to be their crying shoulder. We were able to lift, to pick up their hand and tell them, to encourage them that you are our brother, you are our sister, and we are going to keep watch over you. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you abundantly. May the Lord open up doors so amazing and so great, and great blessings that you'll not be able to withhold. Amen? Amen. Are you excited today? Yes. We have a little bit change for the last 2 weeks. If you have noticed, we have a little bit change in our worship. We want to be worshiping the Lord, and then we come directly to the Word of God. And I understand the last 2 weeks when I was not there, it was powerful, and the Lord was able to minister to us. And I believe that the Lord is still going to continue ministering to our hearts, if only we can open up our hearts, open up our souls. I'm excited in what the Lord is doing among us, and I believe that the Lord has some great things in store for us. Amen. Amen. All you need to do is just be opened up and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because when you're sensitive to the power of the Holy Spirit, he is able to reveal things unto you even as we carry on. And we also thank God for adding numbers to us. Last Sunday we had a friend of mine who is also my village mate, Sammy, and his beautiful wife. We had an opportunity to go and visit them last night, and what a warm couple they are. Amen. So Sammy, feel welcome in Empowerment Christian Center. And your wife, Tina, they made us a wonderful dinner, and we had a wonderful fellowship last night. The Lord bless you. Amen. Let us turn our Bibles into the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 5, verse number 10. 1 Samuel, chapter number 6. 2 Samuel. Everything is okay? 2 Samuel, chapter number 6, verse number 1. 2 Samuel, chapter number 6, verse number 1. And if you're there, can you shout a big amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000 people. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baale Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. Verse number 3, they placed the ark of God on a new cart that they might bring it to the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. That hill is called Gima, but you can call it, my Bible doesn't say Gima, but elsewhere you can find the hill referred to as Gima. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it to the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, and all kinds of instruments made of firewood and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. I will jump all the way to verse number 12. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obinadab and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God. David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And let's jump all the way to verse number 16. Then it happened as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you. I thank you because before I minister this word, you've already ministered to me. I recognize that you're my pastor, you're my bishop, and you take care of me, O Lord. And I thank you because I'm just a conduit, a pipe that you use to deliver food sometimes to these children. These are your children, Lord, and it's such an honor and in humility, Lord. I've taken up this responsibility, Lord, to just honor you and to just be used as a vessel, Father, to deliver what you'd have us hear and what you'd have us do, Lord. For God, you use different people, Lord, even to raise a voice so that the church, your body, can be sensitized about the things that you want them to do and the direction in which you want them to go. I thank you, Father, because even as you ministered to me and as you gave me this food, Lord, and as I ruminated and assimilated it, Lord, I just want to give it to your children. I thank you, Father, because obediently, sir, I will use my voice, Lord, as you have granted me to speak what you laid into my spirit to them. And at the end of the day, Lord, I just choose to fall unto your feet, Lord, and submit and humble and feed us, Lord, and that you may receive the glory, O Jehovah. We thank you, Father. We lift up your name. We highly glorify you, O God, for in there is no one like you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for choosing to go to the cross and to die for us and to plant us into into your body so that now we are members of your body. And I thank you so highly, sir, because you are enthroned, O Lord, in all majesty. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You always are on the throne, and we submit to you, Heavenly Father. We thank you. We bless you. Take over this meeting, Lord. Open up our ears so that we may listen and hear to what the Spirit is speaking to the church this morning. Father, we adore you, and we humbly submit to you, sir. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. A story is told of a person who boarded an airplane, and they had never boarded a plane before. And as they were boarding up this plane, they were very curious, and they were a little bit anxious of what was to happen when the engines of the plane were rumbling and they were just about to be, you know, to soar up in the heavenlies. And as they were boarding up, it was unbeknown to them of all that it entails inside a plane. You know, they were a little bit scared, and so this person boards a plane, and as they got into the plane, usually the pilot makes an announcement, and he says, yeah, you know what, you need to fasten your belt, you need to be okay, you need to be sober up, everything is going to be okay in a few minutes. We're going to soar up to a certain altitude, and everything is going to be okay. And so this person's obeys the rules, and as they are seated there, the time comes when the plane, makes a quick move by the runway. I'm speaking this because I know everybody here has boarded a plane, because some of you came from very far, and that's how you came up here. And it zooms so quickly, and it begins to glide, and within a few minutes, you know, they're above the clouds, and this person can no longer see the earth. And within a few minutes, you know, there are people who are very courteous, and they're coming to people asking them what they would want to have for a drink and what they would want to eat. And this person didn't know that, you know, this person didn't have any money within them. And, you know, every time, you know, this waitress would come, they would say, no, I'm okay, because they knew that they didn't have no money. And this person was surprised how everybody would get a piece. She wondered, you know, how everybody would get a glass of juice and whatever they wanted. The other people within other places would just get a candy. And as the journey continued, this waitress would come over and over again. And she wondered, wow, how poor I am. Being in this plane, I'm the poorest of the poorest. All these people have money, and they're ordering all these kinds of food. And at the end of the trip, you know, they came down. She was so frustrated, so hungry. And she wondered, why? Next time, if I have an opportunity to board a plane, I'll carry some money with me so that I will not be hungry as I was on that trip. And she managed to talk to some of the people that she traveled with. And she was very curious, and they asked these people, I mean, how come that everybody had all this money, and there were some breakfast and all this food and all that and I didn't have anything. Do you know of a restaurant where I can go so that I can have probably a quick bite, you know, somewhere? I'm so hungry. And to cut a long story short, this person that they traveled together told this person that everything was included on the ticket, so you didn't have to pay anything. And she was so flabbergasted and so worried, and and she was so sad that she was so ignorant to make inquiries as to whether everything was, you know, included on the ticket. Why am I giving you this story? Is that the reason why I'm giving you this story is because we need to know that the package that we have received, the package of salvation, the gift of salvation, is loaded with benefits. It is loaded with healing. It is loaded with kindness. It is loaded with all kinds of benefits. And it would be a great disservice for us to get to our Father when He opens up the galleries of gifts that were loaded on that gift, and He beckons on us and says, oh, you see that benefit? It was yours for the taking, but you never claimed it. Praise be to God. And I'm telling God that, God, I wanna get into the depths of you so that I can know every single benefit that is loaded within my package. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor, tell them your gift is loaded with benefits. Amen. My gift is loaded with benefits. And it is up to me. God has given me the prerogative. He has given me an opportunity to search into Him and to recognize and to appreciate the gifts that the Lord has given me, the benefits that He has given me. And I need to be counting those benefits every single time. I count the benefits of super health that the Lord has given. Let me tell you, church, sometimes, you know, we get into a regimen of exercise, which is good. We get into a regimen of eating good food, you know. We choose what we eat. And at the end of the day, when we visit the doctor, our diastolic and our systolic levels are all equal. I mean, they are the whatever is required, they are normal. And we go out rejoicing and say, oh, it is because of my exercise regimen. It is because of my eating habits. Let me tell you, it is not because of that, but it's because of the Lord. I have heard of stories of people who do exercise. And by the way, don't get me wrong. We need to get into an exercise regimen. We need to eat good. We need to not just eat hamburgers all day long. We need to choose what we eat. Praise be to God. Are you listening to me? But I've heard of people who follow this regimen of good habits of eating, but sooner or later, they are diagnosed with cancer, diagnosed with another disease that is incurable, diagnosed with another problem. We need to recognize that the gift that the Lord has given us is loaded with benefits, loaded with healing. And every single week, our waking moments, we need to be thankful for what the Lord has done. Thank you, Lord, that I am able to breathe fresh air. Thank you, Lord. You know, there are people who do not have an ability even to breathe in fresh air. That they have to be, an incision has to be made through their throat and a trachea, an article or an ornament or something has to be put in or injected in within their system so that they can breathe. I once met a man, you know, this man looked normal. And when he talked to me, I could not understand what he was talking to me. And every single time he would hold his throat in order for me to hear what he was talking about. We are ignorant of so many things. But we need every single waking moments of our lives. We need to be thanking God, thank you for my healing. Thank you that I have a sound mind. Thank you that you've given me a job. Thank you for the family that you've given me. Thank you for the church that you've given me. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my children. Thank you for everything that you've given me. Because why eat not for him? Why eat not for him? Frustrations may come. Even hard times shall come. Because as long as we are going to be in this world, church, listen to me. Trouble will befall us. But it is one thing to have problems and another thing to know that even in spite of these problems, there is a Lord God Almighty that is on the throne. And that he has loaded every of my package with benefits. I may be temporarily out of money, but I know within my knower that my package is loaded with benefits. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to bring to you a message that I called Dare to Host the Ark. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, Dare to Host the Ark. Dare to Host the Ark. Every time I read about David, and I know it applies to you every time I read about David, whether it is in the book of 1st or 2nd Chronicles, whether it is in the book of Psalms, whether it is the book of 1 Samuel, whatever you find and you're reading about David, you cannot fail to be attracted to the man. Because there's certain things about that characterizes David that has everything that I want in a mentor. There are certain things that characterizes the life of David that when I think and when I read and when I imagine about who David is, I mirror myself, you know, within David. I cannot just afford that, but I feel so drawn and so attracted to this man because he has everything that I would want in a father figure. There is everything that I would want in a man who has piety for God. Praise be to God. When you read anything about David, you see a sense of piety, a sense of devotion unto the Lord in spite of the things that he is going through. And he has held, he holds very quickly and very fast to the word that he first heard, even from before he was anointed by Samuel. He had this amplitude of serving God and relying upon God. And let me tell you, you cannot just afford it if you really love. If you really love serving God with the whole of your heart, if you really love, you know, just that solitary and that authentic devotion unto the Lord, if you really love the things that draw you, that if you really love God with the whole of your heart, and if you have an affinity to be drawn to the things of God, to the principles that God has said in his word, man, I tell you, you cannot just be drawn to David. Praise be to God. You're drawn to the man. Because as we read in this particular chapter of the Bible, David, first of all, God anointed. He was anointed 3 times. He is anointed by Samuel, if you can remember very well. And David becomes the king over Judah. He becomes king over Judah for 7 years and 6 months. Now, what you need to understand is that the nation of Israel was divided into two. There was the northern and the southern kingdom. And a time comes, you know, the Lord God had spoken unto David, and he had told him, you know what, you are my chosen one. And a time is coming when you shall be the shepherd of all the nation of Israel. But in the first place, God never opened an opportunity for David to be the king of the entire nation of Israel. He first of all made him a king over Judah. And he did this for 7 years and 6 months. But while he was doing this, he never fought his way through to become what God had promised afore. But he served God with this determination that one day, it is going to dawn and I'm going to be the ruler of this nation. And God is going to use me as an instrument to bring his purposes to fulfillment in this nation one day. Praise be to God. And I just love this man. And when the brothers from the northern, the brothers from the south, they were warring each other and they were fighting each other and they were trying to bring down David, David was still cool. Praise be to God. Let me tell you. When you have the presence of God in your life, when you know that you know that you know that you've been in a place and had an experience with your God, Lord Almighty, in spite of the things that you may have to go through, in spite of the things that you are able to face, in spite of the things that you have to climb over, the valleys that you have to go down, you are at peace. Praise be to God. And a time comes after serving Judah for 7 years and 6 months. A time came, God orchestrated, you know, the north, you know, the kingdom that was left by Saul. He orchestrates the north. And a time, and the men from the north come, they come to, they draw towards David, and they declare that, you know, from this day, we are tired of a king that is taking us nowhere. We recognize that you're the one chosen by God. We recognize that you're the man who has the mantle to rule over Israel. And now we are going to anoint you king over all Israel. Praise be to God. I'm heading somewhere. Praise be to God. And David is anointed to become king over Israel. And as these things begin to happen so quickly, he begins to see the favor of the Lord. And he begins to recognize the orchestration and how God is moving other people so that he now can be on the realm. He now can be on that position to be the king of Israel. He begins to recognize God is up to something good because he promised me that I will be a shepherd over this nation. And remembers the Ark of the Covenant. Somebody say the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I don't even want to dwell in delve into the Ark of the Covenant, that'll be a subject on its own. The Ark of the Covenant, God gave to Moses instructions of how the Ark of the Covenant will be. Inside the Ark of the Covenant, we had the tablets of the Ten Commandments. We had the Aaron's stone that was bearing. It was a represent. The Bible says, if you read actually in the second verse of the chapter that we just read, chapter number six, the Bible says, and David arose, went all the people who were with him in Baal and Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which was called by the name. The name of the Lord of hosts who is enthroned above the cherubims. The Ark of the Covenant was a place where the children of Israel would go and submit themselves and offer prayers unto the Lord. It was some kind of a succum, a place whereby they would seek God in times of distress, and the Lord God would come so mightily and fight for them. And David recognizes that this Ark of the Covenant has been in the house of Abinadab for several years. And David recognized that the life of Abinadab was a blessed life. Everybody within Abinadab's homestead, everybody within his family was a blessed man. And he went and realized, you know what? God is orchestrating things. So that now I can set the city of David, and I can put up the throne in the city of David. And I want to build a tent. I want to build a special place whereby the symbol of Jehovah God, or Lord Almighty, can be established in Jerusalem. Because David recognized one thing, that it is one thing for God to raise you up to a certain position and God will watch over you. But it's another thing for God to come and raise you up to a certain position and bring you and bring him alongside you. He knew that things will be okay as long as I can have the presence of God alongside me. Glory be to God. Because he recognized one thing, that the gift of God, the presence of God, is loaded up with benefits. I don't have to fight this war myself. I don't have to face this chance alone. I don't have even to face the calamities, the armies that I have to conquer alone. But as long as I have the King, the presence of Jehovah God, as long as I have the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem, things are going to be okay. Glory be to Jesus. Let me tell you, church, sometimes God will take you to parts whereby when you look at yourself, you'll have an opportunity to say, why eat not this by my own strength? Why eat not this by my own strength? It's because I went to college. It is because I went this and I've achieved this and I scored so high. That's why they give me this position. Hallelujah. We have read of King Nebuchadnezzar too, who was king over Babylon. And God prospered his kingdom. And I've told you this several, many, many a times, that when King Nebuchadnezzar looked at the whole of Babylon, church, he said these words. He said, is this not the Babylon that I have built by my own strength? Is this not the Babylon that I have built for my own might? Let me tell you, church, it is a dangerous aspect or connotation when that idea even begins to breed within our minds, that is it not by my own might that I have this house? Is it not by my own might that I have this privilege? Is it not by my might that my family doesn't have any chaos? It is not by anybody's ability. It is not by the way you know how to bring people together. It is not the way I'm eloquent that I'm able to put this church together. It is not the way we have a prominent and a such a wonderful worship in this church. But it is because of Jehovah God. It is because we walk alongside his presence. And that's why when you walk alongside his presence, he is able to bring a miracle when you are between a rock and a hard place, my brother. And when you trust God, we do not trust chariots of fire. We do not trust anything else. Our trust and our focus is on the Lord. Hallelujah, church. And David recognized, I have watched the life of Abinadab, and he is so blessed. And I want to carry with me the Ark of the Covenant and bring it, oh glory to Jesus, into the city of Jerusalem. Because right now, God is orchestrating things. Be careful when God is orchestrating things in your life. Did you hear me?
Be careful when God is orchestrating things in your life, making you meet a divine connection and everything appears to be going on well with you. Be careful the next steps that you take, because they might bring a disaster. Hallelujah. And David, he forgot. He looks at the Ark of the Covenant, Evangelist Noah. He looks at the Ark of the Covenant and he says, it is time for me to bring the Ark of the Covenant. It has been in the house of Abinadab for too long a time. It is time that it being in the central place. He had a good idea. He had a good motive of bringing the Ark of the Covenant. But God has set some instructions of how to deal with his presence. Church, listen to me. It's going to be a dangerous thing when God has blessed you the way he has, because I know he has blessed you, Freddie. For us to put one foot in the kingdom of the enemy and the other foot in the kingdom of the devil and hope that things are going to work out well for us. No wonder we are going to struggle, because we are struggling with a glimpse of the things that we dealt before we were ungenerated. And now we want to deal with the things that we ought to be dealing with now that we are generated. Are you listening to me? If God would give any one of us, Evangelist Healan, a glimpse of the life that we used to live when we were never born again, you would even run away and wonder. You would go crazy. If some of us who are drunkards, God would take you to a life of drunkenness and do the things that you did. If some of us, God would take them to a life of fornication and adultery and being a stealer or a thief and the things that we did while we were in the kingdom of the devil, let me tell you, we would go out of our mind, because we would wonder, how did we do those things in the first place? And so, there was a war between the Philistines and the children of Israel. When the priest Eli was the priest in Shiloh, and there was a fierce battle. The Bible tells us that 30,000 Israelis just lost their lives. And the Philistines, the enemy of God, came and took up the Ark of the Covenant and then ran away with it. They were ignorant of what the Ark of the Covenant meant or signified in their lives. Let me tell you, church, and they did this for a long time. They used to see the instructions that God gave to Moses of how to treat the presence of God. It was only supposed to be carried by Levites. And they would put some poles, they would thrash in some poles, and nobody will be allowed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. Are you listening to me? Those were the instructions that God gave to the forefathers of David. And the instructions were passed over even as they went along. Are you listening to me? And so I am expecting that David was aware of those instructions. But in the hullabaloo and in the joy and in the excitement of the day, he remembered that I've seen the Philistines hauling the Ark of the Covenant by a cart driven by some oxen. He saw that and nothing happened to them. He saw he assumed this is the right way to bring the presence of God into Jerusalem. And so what he decides, he had the right idea. And so he summons 30,000 men and women, and they go into the house of Abinadab, and they bring an oxen cart and they load the Ark of the Covenant on a card. And they're dancing and they're playing. Now we have the presence of God. We are taking it to Jerusalem. I told you, church, be careful. When God is connecting you up with some divine connections, be careful, because you might fall into temptation. Make sure that you peruse through the word of God. Make sure that we get on to the principles. What am I supposed to do? What is this the right thing to do? God help me, because I'm just about to make a big decision that would affect my life and my family. My God, may you help me. I'm just about to get into a nursing career. I'm just about to start a business and everything seemed to be working out. My credit has been approved and everything seemed to be working right. Be careful, because the enemy, at that time, he might take advantage of you. Are you listening to me, church? And so they load up the Ark of the Covenant, and Uzi and his brother, who are sons of Abinadab, they are randomly chosen to carry, to take, to protect the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, no one was supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And as they are driving along and they are singing with all the instruments that we heard, and they're joyous. We didn't have tarmac those days, you know. And as the oxen is pulling this cart, oh, the Ark of the Covenant is like, oh, almost falling down. And Uzziah reaches out and touches the Ark of the Covenant. And guess what happens? He dies. The right motive, but failed to understand what the presence of God signified. The presence of God is so rich, and it's endured with mercies that are renewed every morning. But what I learned from this scripture, so what we need to pick up from this scripture, is that David forgot the instructions that were given by God to his forefather Moses. And he took on what the secularists, the Philistines, were carrying, the Ark of the Covenant, and he assumed that that was the right way. God never killed, God killed some Philistines because of mistreating the Ark of the Covenant. Praise be to God. Some Bethlehemites. So the Bible says that they were so killed. And David, when Uzziah is instantly killed because of touching the Ark of the Covenant, he is so disturbed, and he remembers. Thank God for it, for God is so justified in all that he does. And let me tell you, church, I couldn't afford but to think, I mean, God, I can't believe it. Uzziah had the right idea, because the Ark of the Covenant was almost flipping over. But sometimes, he had the right idea to, you know, oh, I cannot afford to see the Ark of the Covenant, so I just want to bring it back to the cart. But how many of you know that many times we want to fight the fight that God has intended to fight himself in your life? And at that point, when we begin to fight that fight, we lose, and we begin to wonder, why did I lose this fight? And I couldn't help, and I wondered, I mean, God, you need to explain to me, how can you really bring such judgment? And this guy had the right motives. But then I came to understand that God is so justified, and he's so impartial in the way he deals with sin. And sometimes God has to bring justification. He might bring even justification to one man, so that there will be an abundance of grace poured out to other mankind. Are you listening to me? Because if God never performed that judgment at that very time, David would have taken the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem in an unworthy way. Hallelujah. And so David begins to moan, and he begins to reflect, and begins to see how wrong he was, because he remembered, oh, I am so sorry. I apologize. I believe that this is, he fell prostrate before the Lord and remembered, oh, this is not the way I'm supposed to handle the presence of God. I cannot import secularism and think that the way they used to do it, I also need to do it that way. In the church today, they are openly ordaining gay bishops. Lesbianism is just like a thing we read and never worries anybody in the church today. It's like they are openly now ordaining. You have read it in the papers, right? But as a church of Jesus Christ, the members, the authentic members of Jesus Christ, we are not going to ally ourselves to those who are openly ordaining gay bishops, because the Bible says it's sin. And I will shout it at the top of the mountain, and without any fear or intimidation, and say that it is sin. The Bible says it so clearly, that a marriage is between a man and a woman. That is what the Bible says. And so there is a strategy that the enemy is working to introduce secularism into the body of Christ, so that now when we get into serving the Lord, we can even call those our brothers. I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, I tell you the truth. Those are not my brothers. They will never be my brothers until they repent and they acknowledge the word of God. That is the time I can call them my brother. They can never be my bishop. I can never call them a bishop. I don't care what doctorate they have. I don't care what level of school they have attained. If they have missed the mark, they have missed the mark. Are you listening to me, church? Let us be careful the way the devil is trying to bring to introduce secularism into the body of Christ, and it seems okay. And this is exactly what happened. They carried the Ark of the Covenant on a cart, thinking that this is the right way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we were yet in sin, God ignored. Let me tell you, church, today God still has mercy on an adulterer who is ungenerated. Somebody who does not know the Lord and he is doing adultery, fornication, God is still merciful because he is doing that out of ignorance. People who are drunkard, they're sleeping on trenches. Still, they do not know the Lord. The Lord still has mercy on them. And he is waiting on us to go there and tell them, you know what? Jesus can redeem you and he can give you the gift of salvation and he can change you until you're completely changed. And many times you might wonder why God is so merciful. But also listen, it is a dangerous thing for somebody who already knows the Lord, to whom the grace and the Spirit of God has been revealed and the gift of salvation has been revealed, and he knows the truth. And then he does the things those people are doing. It is a dangerous thing because God can bring his judgment very quickly. And this is exactly what happened in that day. He brought his judgment very quickly because they knew the truth. Whilst the Palestinians and the people who were hauling this, even the Ark of the Covenant would fall, but God would overlook because they were doing it out of ignorance. Sometimes he would come and smite them. Sometimes he would let it go. His mercies are new because they were doing it out of ignorance. But now that you have come to know the Lord, we need to know that the gift that we have received is loaded up with benefits. But the only way to activate those benefits is to completely put our feet completely into the kingdom. But when we put our foot on the other kingdom and our feet on the other kingdom and we're entertaining the presence of God, we are treading on dangerous grounds. Are you listening to me, church? I wish somebody can. This message is not for everybody, but I wish somebody can listen to me. The only way to activate the piety, the obedience of God is completely be surrounded and be, you know that you know that you know that you love God with the whole of your heart. You know that you know that you pray against secularism. The people who are passing out bills to kill our babies. The people who are ordaining gay bishops. I am praying against them in the name of Jesus. They will never infiltrate the church of Jesus Christ. The gateway to prosperity. Listen to me, you can write this. The gateway to prosperity is complete obedience unto the Lord. Completely obedience. So that when you hit those doors and when you come and the Spirit of God that you sense and begins to minister to you is the same when you hit up those doors and go out into the marketplaces, when you're dealing with your colleagues, you are not any different from when you're lifting up your hands and praising God. I told us the other day that our lives is a worship lifestyle. Whatever we speak out of our mouth is worship. Whatever I look with my eyes is worship. Whatever I speak with my mouth is worship. Whatever I relate, whatever I talk to somebody, ought to be a worship experience. Are you listening to us this day? And so, David recognizes that he is on the wrong. And immediately, he deviates his mission. And he says, I cannot treat my God in an unworthy way. Lord, I believe that David knelt down and had some time to plead with the Lord for mercy. And he says, I'm not going to take this Ark of the Covenant. I know what it is loaded with. I know the benefits, but I choose to take it the right way. And he takes a detour and takes it to the house of Abinadab. Is it Obed-Edom? And the Bible says for 3 months, his family was completely blessed. Now, something you need to know about Obed-Edom, that name. Obed-Edom witnessed the death of Uzziah. Obed-Edom also knew how God had dealt so ruthless with the Philistines because of mishandling the Ark of the Covenant. But you know what? When he recognized that an opportunity of bringing the Ark of the Covenant in his home, he was bold enough to say, bring it in because I'm a righteous man. I am right with God. All my feet are in the kingdom of God. And as long as this Ark of the Covenant is brought into my house, it is going to be well with me. It is going to be well with my children. It is going to be well with my family. It is going to be well with me. Bring it. What an opportunity. Bring it, King David. That's exactly what he did. And the Bible says that within 3 months, that his family was completely blessed. He was completely blessed. I dare you, Church of Christ, to play host to the Ark of the Covenant in the right way. I pray. I dare you to welcome the King of the Host, to host the Ark of the Covenant. But your feet has to be completely in the body. And the moment that Ark of the Covenant lands into your home, then begin to prepare yourself. For I can begin to hear the rumble of blessings coming your way. When you begin to worship God the way he wants you to worship, and you're training and magnifying his name, I begin to hear the rumble of blessings knocking their doors out of heaven coming your way. Because that's exactly what happened to Obed-Edom. And David was keen to observe what was happening in the house of Obed-Edom. And he said, oh, I was doing the right thing, but the problem with me is that I did it the wrong way to bring it. I had to observe. I was taught and I saw what the Philistines did. And I thought that's the way to bring the house, the presence of God into my city. And let me tell you, David went back into the old covenant. And he searched the way the Ark of the Covenant was brought. He ordained Levites. He did a ceremony. Let me tell you, he was not in a rush. Because what he recognized, as if I want the operational power of the power of the presence of God to be within me, I have to do it the right way. I have to do it the right way. He ordained. You go read that in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter number 15 from verse 1. Following. Read it. You know, he spent a lot of time of preparing it. And eventually, when he knew that everything was done correctly, man, there was no one who was as joyous as King David. For the Bible says that when the Ark of the Covenant was just about to come into Jerusalem, knowing who he was a priestly. Oh, God Almighty, listen to me, church. He was the king and he had the kingly robes all clothed around him. He decided, you know what? I may be a king today, but I choose to be a minister. I choose to be a servant of God. He pulled out his robes. Oh, somebody's listening to me. He pulled up, the Bible says, he stripped off his robes. Stripped off his kingly garments and he put on a linen ephod. Now, a linen ephod, Julius, and linen ephod was a kind of a garment that was worn by Levites during some special ceremonies. But also, it was open for anybody who was willing to come to that level and serve God in such a manner. And David decided, I know I'm a king. I've been ordained by the king. And now I choose to do things the right way. He stripped himself up and he put on a linen ephod, signifying, I am no longer, I recognize, I'm coming below what I am. Because when the priests and the Levites that were serving God, the king would be in a lofty place, in his highly lifted up place. But he recognizes, I am a servant and I'm beginning to dance and welcome the presence of God. Because I know the benefits that are loaded up here. Glory to Jesus. The moment God is going to connect us with what is divinely ours is when we begin to not to regard the blessings and regard the blesser. When we begin to regard the things, when we regard so highly the things that he has done for us and we fail to recognize the blesser, that is where the problem is going to be. So church, God is going to take you. Listen to me, you can write it down. Philista, listen to me, Jim. God is going to take you to very, very high positions. You know, you'll be speaking a word and things happen. Okay? You have your business. God will line up our businesses. Are you listening to me? If you have you are a career man or a career woman, God is going to line up, you know, people and bosses and give you a promotion. And God is going to take you high. But when he takes you up to that place, remember that you remember the linen ephod, that you remember that you have to go up there. When he lifts you up to that position, do not forget the linen ephod with you, because the linen ephod identifies you as a servant and as a Levite to serve the Most High God. I dare every one of us, every single day, waking day of your day, carry with you a linen ephod. King David, with his lofty, and he was so graced up by God and with favor. Actually, if you read the Bible sometimes, let's read this. This is very powerful. 1 Samuel 5:10. The Bible says David became greater and greater, for the Lord was with him. 1 Samuel 5:10. David became greater and greater. Not because he killed a lion or a bear. David became greater and greater. Not because he was the least in his father's house. David became greater and greater. Not because he was king and he had the authority. David became greater and greater because the Lord was with him. My God. All I need in this life is to know that the Lord is with me. I may encounter trouble, but when I know that the Lord is on my side, church, I'm not going to be dismayed. I may encounter even difficult situations, but as long as I know that the Lord is on the throne and he's with me, I know my life is destined for greatness. And in conclusion, his wife looks from the window and he looks, remember his wife, the first wife was Saul's daughter, looks up from the window and he saw King David stripping up. I see some of us maybe would feel the same. If my wife was here and he found myself stripping this shirt, you'd say, okay, what are you just about to do, Pastor? And that's exactly what he did. He removed everything that had a connotation or had an identity of a king. And he clothed himself with a linen ephod. And when the woman, his wife, saw that he was so, the Bible says that he despised him in heart. Let me tell you, church, when you take a stand for the Lord, when you begin to stand straight and you say, I'm not going to miss this meeting in spite of what I'm going through. I'm still going to go to church in spite of my financial situation. I have with me a linen ephod and I'm not neglecting the body of Christ. Some people will begin to be jealous of you. They will begin to discourage you. Certain things will begin. It could be maybe a football season. Football season might discourage you to come to church. Basketball season might discourage you to come to church. It might be something that will discourage you. But the moment you know your opening is so clear, then things will begin to discourage you. But that is the very moment that I need to really, you know, to put some more effort to serve the Lord, to pray, to read the word, and to relate with other brothers. Because in so doing, establish you. And so Abigail, the Lord looks at everybody. He looks at the heart. Just because of this act, Alex, we discussed this with you. Just because of this act, the Lord closed her womb. Don't worry, when you serve God, and you know that you're in the right track and people are so they're so worried and they are so much against you, keep serving God. Don't worry about what people think about you. Isaac, it's good to see you in the house. When you serve God, don't care what other people say about you. But you know your relationship with God. Are you listening to me? God is going to do the business of dealing with them. But as for me, I'm going to serve God with my whole foot on the floor, serving God and knowing that I have a linen ephod. Because I want the presence of God that is loaded with benefits being on my side. Because when I am sick, I know I can claim that benefit. It can be part of me. When my family is going in a disarray, when I'm in a financial situation, I can jump on into that basket of the presence of God and pick up that benefit. In the name of Jesus, shall we stand on our feet? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. I dare you to host the Ark of the Covenant. Are you ready to host the Ark of the Covenant? Obed-Edom welcomed the Ark of the Covenant in spite of what he knew. He knew that this was death if I play with it. But he knew the right way to welcome the Ark of the Covenant. He had to be right with God. He had to make sure that my ways are right with God, because God is the scanner of my life. He is able to see everything. Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:13 that everything lays bare before him. There are men in the Bible that we can emulate, like Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, who chose not to defile themselves with the choice food of the king. And for 10 days they lived with cabbages and water. And God graciously came and provided for them in a miraculous way. And when they are taken into the fiery furnace, Jesus, because they so much identified with him, had to pop up in that fiery furnace and tell them, sons, I am here with you. Nothing can touch you. All that it requires is to take a stand in the Lord. That I'm not going to have my foot in the kingdom of the enemy and have another foot in the kingdom of God. Then God is going to vindicate you. Hallelujah. When Jesus was walking down the street and Zacchaeus recognized who the master was, he stripped down all the eminency and all the position he had in the community, and he climbed up a sycamore tree, an act even today that is regarded as a dishonorary act, to climb up a tree. But when he got up there, because he decided to strip himself of his position, God was attracted to the man. And salvation came into his home. Lift up your right hand right now in the name of Jesus. I want you to say this after me. Father, may you help me. I want to host the Ark of the Covenant in the right way. In the name of Jesus, I recognize that the Ark of the Covenant symbolizes your presence. And when I recognize your presence, it will be the doorway to my prosperity. I embrace the Ark of the Covenant in the name of Jesus. Come on, say like you mean it. In the name of Jesus. Lord, may you help me. Lord, may you help me. I want to host the Ark of the Covenant in the right way. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We lift up your name. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in our midst, oh God. We don't take for granted the wonderful worship experience that you've given us in this body. Father God, may thou be lifted up. May we come down as we honor and as we recognize your presence. May you move in our midst, oh God. We thank you, Father, even for the visitors that you've given us. We thank you, Father, even for the corporate members of the body of Christ that we are. Father, I declare that we shall love one another. That we shall take care of one another. That we shall be like those Christians who are in Antioch, who was first referred as Christians because they did as Christ did. Thank you, Lord. We regard you highly, sir. You are our Father. Beside you, there is no other. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. You might be in this meeting. You've never given your life to Jesus. I'd like to invite you to the greatest opportunity you can ever have. To invite the Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into your life. You may not have had this opportunity before, but the Bible says that he knocks on the door of your heart. If only you can open up your door, it is so simple. The Bible says if only you can believe with your heart, then you will be born again. It only takes for you to believe, and then you will be made righteous, and then confess with your mouth unto salvation. Is there anyone like that who would like to invite Jesus Christ into their lives? And today he will be the Lord of their lives. Lift up your hands. I'd like to pray with you. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? You'd like to receive Jesus Christ in your life? Lift up your hand right now. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be scared. Everybody will stand before the Lord. Bible tells me that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord. You will be alone when you stand before the presence of the Father. Is there anybody? I don't want to close anybody out. Might be sick in your body and you want us to agree with you for the Lord to touch you. Might be needing a miracle. Just lift up your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to agree with you right now. Lift up that hand. Is there anybody that would like for us to agree? I see that hand. Thank you. The Lord knows you even before you lift up that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Lift up high to the Lord. We are going to pray and agree together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you may look at the burden and the trouble that has befell one of these our brothers. And I pray that you may send quick help right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, may they begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel in the name of Jesus. May you come quickly, Lord, and redeem them out of their trouble in the name of Jesus. Though there's need to seek you more, may you grant that opportunity in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because it is done. Thank you for your hand that right now is moving so mightily in their lives, oh God. If they need a financial breakthrough, may you grant them. If they need an opportunity for work, may you grant them in the name of Jesus. They will come here and give a testimony of what you have done. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen.